All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Lamed Beis 32. We are picking up at 31. Lamed Aleph Amed Beis, and we are picking up Nafak of the Avar Uvda, which is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we are dealing with a riveting case that we brought down on Lamed Aleph Amed Aleph. And that case was dealing with the following situation. Reuven and Shimon. Reuven comes over to Shimon. I should say, actually, they're right. Reuven comes over to Shimon. Shimon, what are you doing on my land? So Shimon says, this land belonged to my father. Reuven says, this land belonged to my father. Reuven brings witnesses that indeed the land belonged to his father. Shimon brought witnesses. Reuven brought witnesses that the land belonged to his father, and he lived there for the last 3 years. Shimon brought witnesses that he lived there for the last 3 years, but did not bring anything to do with his father. So remember again, we have Machlokis, Rav Nachman, and Rava, as to what exactly we do. According to Rav Nachman, ultimately, again, the two testimonies about Chazaka cancel each other out, and all you have is the first Eidos relating to Reuven's father. Therefore, we give the land to Reuven. Rava said, no, it's Eidos Mukhashas. The Eidos goes ahead and cancels each other out, and there's nothing to talk about over here. So we'll say, so this then went into a discussion about Chayshin and Lizi. So we'll say, so I'm sorry. So then one more piece happened. Then what ended up occurring? So then Shimon brought another set of witnesses. And that other set of witnesses, so according to Rav Nachman, according to Rav Nachman, they awarded the land to Reuven. Because Reuven at the end of the day had the testimony supporting the fact that it belonged to his father. Subsequently, Shimon went ahead and brought witnesses that said the land belonged to his father. So I'm also saying, now again, Shimon also has that testimony. So what happened? Rav Nachman originally wanted to go ahead and take that land away from Reuven and once again kind of put it up for play. They said to Rav Nachman, you can't do that because if you do that, there's Zilusa de Beis Din. You're degrading the honor of Beis Din by constantly going back and forth and reversing previous judgments. Then we got into a discussion about whether or not Chayshinon Lezilusa de Beis Din. Do we care about the degradation of Beis Din or not? Meaning, do we sometimes refrain from reversing judgments in order to maintain the integrity of Beis Din or not? So says the Gemara. So we'll say it seemed to be the conclusion where we left off yesterday is that yes, Chashinu Lezilusa de Beis Din, we are careful, right? We are careful to maintain the integrity of Beis Din, and therefore we do not go ahead and reverse previous decisions. So says the Gemara, Nafak Avad Uvda. So what happens? It turns out that after this whole discussion, Rav Nachman went back and reversed the previous decision, and he went ahead and he put the land back up for play. When I say back up for play, I mean that now both Reuven and Shimon both have Eidos that the land belonged to their father, and they both had years of chazaka. In which case, Rav Nachman extracted it from Reuven, and again, kind of put it into the arena of let's see who's going to get it. Says the Gemara, so man dechaza savar ta'usahu biyadei. So we'll say, so the one who saw him do this figured that, you know what, he was just correcting a previous mistake in ruling. Belohi, but that was not true. Elam mishum detalye ba'ashli ravave. We'll say, ashli ravave means great, strong ropes. Rav Nachman felt that Rav Osei, he had whom to rely on in terms of the fact that lo chayshinu lezilusa de Beis Din. He felt that he had strong shoulders to stand on to support him, that in general we will reverse a previous ruling of Beis Din, and we are not choshesh, we are not worried about eroding the integrity of Beis Din. Rav Osei, now where did Rav Nachman get this from? Tisnan, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rav Osei, is a very interesting halacha. Ein malin l'kuna p'yedechon. Rabbi Yehuda says that you cannot establish the yichos of a kohen through the testimony of one witness. In other words, a guy says, I'm a kohen, and he goes ahead and he brings one witness. That one witness is not enough to establish him as a kohen. Rabbi said, now understand over here, when we speak about establishing someone as a kohen, we are talking about for tshuma purposes. Meaning, remember, someone comes into shul, we ask him, kohen Levi Yisrael. He says, kohen. So we don't say, no, you know, you have Eidos, you approve it. I say, because the truth is, again, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So if he's not a kohen and he got the first aliyah, it really doesn't matter. When it matters, ultimately, again, it's for truma. So we're talking about now over here about a kohen who's going to consume truma. So how do we establish kohanic credentials for tshuva? For truma. So Rabbi Yehuda says, we do not establish a person as a kohen on the basis of an eid echad, of one witness. You need real testimony. Amar Rabbi Elazar said, Emasai, when is that true? B'makom she'ish orin. Rabbi Elazar said, that's only when there are people who are objecting to his kohanic status. Ava b'makom she'in orin, ma'alin l'kuna al pi'edechot. But if there's no one objecting, if there's no one objecting to his Kohanic status, then we can establish someone as a Kohen through the testimony of an Eid Echad. Reb Shimon Gamliel Omer, Mishram Bishimon Ben Askan, Ma'alin L'Kohuna Pei Eid Echad. And Reb Shimon Gamliel says, name Reb Shimon Askan, that you can establish someone's Kohanic credentials on the basis of an Eid Echad. Ah, says the Gemara, Reb Shimon Gamliel and Reb Elazar. So Reb Shimon Gamliel and Reb Elazar seem to be saying the same thing, that you could go ahead and establish someone as a Kohen on the basis of an Eid Echad. Maybe what they're arguing about is the following. Maybe what they're arguing about is what happens if, let's say, then another solitary witness, a single witness, comes along and objects to his Kohanic status. So does a single witness have the ability to take away that Kohanic status? Rabbi Elazar Savar, Ir Urchad. So Rabbi Elazar holds that even one witness could go ahead and take away his status. Look at the Rashbam, last Rashbam on the page. Rabbi Elazar Savar, Ir Urchad, Havi Irur. Ve'ein Eid Echad Ne'eman Alav La'achshiro. That they will say, ultimately, again, if another witness comes along and says, you're not a Kohen, right, then ultimately, again, another Eid Echad who says you are does not have the ability to bolster his Kohanic credentials. Top of Lama Beis. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Savar, Ir Ur Trei. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, no. The only way I will say that the testimony of the Eid Echad who says that he is a Kohen can go ahead and be taken away is if you have two witnesses who go ahead and object to the testimony of the Eid Echad. Two witnesses come along and say, we know this guy is not a Kohen, whatever their testimony is, then that takes away the testimony of the Eid Echad. But if it's only Eid Echad, one Eid Echad against Eid Echad, we believe the first Eid Echad who established him as a Kohen. I have Hamar Rabbi Yochanan. Devri Akol in Irur Pachos Mishnayim. We already said the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that in general, that Irur, the ability to undermine an already established Chazaka, only takes place with two witnesses. So what's the case? Now this, I know I say a lot of stuff is riveting. This is riveting. Watch this. V'hachamayaskinon, three lines down on the base of Adalif. Kevan d'mechaskinon le'ba'avua. Excuse me. Kegon d'mechaskin le'ba'avua. The high coin. We're supposed to say, watch this. We'll call him Reuven. Reuven has a father, Yaakov. Right? Reuven has a father, Yaakov. What happens? So we know, kegon d'mechaskin le'ba'avua, the high coin. So we know that Yaakov is a coin. Right? Or I should say, we know, we'll say. When I say we know, the chazok, because we've known Yaakov to be a coin for a long time. So the good news is, if Yaakov is a coin, then what's Reuven's status? Baruch Hashem, he's a Kohen as well. So what happened? V'nafak alei kala de ben grusha ben chalutzahu. Oh. And we'll say, now what happens? A rumor starts that Yaakov married illegally. And therefore, again, he married a grusha, he married a divorcee, which Kohen is not permitted to do. And as a result, his son is a ben grusha ben chalutza, which means his son is a chalal. Son is disqualified from the kuna. So now, remember, I want to be clear. This is nafak alei kala. This is a rumor. This is a rumor now that's circulating. The Rebbe say, now what happens? That if you look at the Rashi, he said, kol ba'amo v'lo edus. There's no testimony about this. There's just simply what? There's just rumors. So Rebbe say, so what do we do in a rumor case? Achsine means we remove him from the kahuna. Rebbe say, now what that means is, what we do is we go into a holding pattern. It doesn't literally mean we remove him from the kahuna. What we ask him is, allow us to be mevara this, allow us to straighten out what this call is, but while the investigation is ongoing, we are asking that you not practice, right? We're asking that you not conduct yourself as a kohen. So again, I want to be clear. It's not that we're accepting the call, we're not accepting the rumors. What we're saying is, we have to investigate the rumors, and we're asking again, please do not practice as a kohen during the course of the investigation. Watch this, okay? So get ready. Here's where it gets very exciting. Va'asa eid echad va'amr the kohen who, so in the midst of the investigation, who shows up in Beis Din? And the eid echad. So eid echad, one witness shows up and says, I know his mother, she's not the grusha, she's not the chalutza, it was a legal marriage, and therefore again, Reuven is in fact a kohen. Beautiful. Va'askine means what the Rebbe says, we lift him back up to his status. Why? Because remember again, the only thing that we had, so to speak, removing him from his status was a call, was a rumor. Eid Echad is enough to go ahead and reverse the rumor. Now, by the way, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking to yourself, how can you penalize the guy because of a rumor? I saw it. I saw the facial expressions, right? But again, I can read the crowd. But again, they must have to understand something. Consumption of truma by a non-Kohen is a transgression punishable by Kares. So what there is no choice here but to err on the side of caution. Halacha cannot allow someone about whom there is a question to go ahead and consume. It's a public safety matter. So it matters of public safety, so Halacha feels you don't have to err on the side of caution. Even though you're right, it's totally unfair, it's just a rumor, and rumors could go ahead and circulate in all kinds of ways, because you must remember, when we speak about removing him from his Kohanic status, again, we're not talking about getting Rishon. Well, alright, it's duchening also. But that's not what's at play over here. What's at play over here is money, is truma. So at the end of the day, we have to on the side of caution. Fine, Se'ed Echad shows up. Rumor is not true. Wonderful. We suspend his, we take him out of the holding cell, so to speak, and we restore his state to being a Kohen. Watch this. Wow. So as we were saying, now two more witnesses show up afterwards. Right? By the way, this is not necessarily happening in rapid succession, as you understand. A day later, however much later, two witnesses show up and say his mother was a grusha. We were at the chasana, the smorgasbord wasn't so good, and she's a grusha. Right? So we know that we'll say this is testimony over here. These are two edim showing up now and saying that she was a grusha. What happens? Va'achsine. So they remove him from the kuna. Because we'll say now you have bona fide edos that this guy is a cholo. Right? You have two witnesses now. Okay. Like chagadja. And then what happens? Now another eid echad comes along and says, dikoenu. Now both say, now look what we've got over here. So just let's follow the timeline. So, right? Monday, everything is fine. Wonderful. He's eating truma to his heart's content. Call, right? Rumor surfaces. We go into holding pattern. Suspend his kahuna. What happens? Eight echad comes along and says he's a kohen, right? And his mother's not a grusha. Restore his kahuna. Two witnesses come along and say he's not a kohen. He's grusha, ben grusha. We now will say, now remember, after that testimony, we don't suspend his kahuna. We tell him, you're a chalal. You are a chalal. Then what happens? Another eight echad comes, another solitary witness comes, and says that he is a kohen. So both sides. So what in essence I have over the continuum of this case is, I have two witnesses saying that he's not a kohen, and I have two witnesses saying that he is a kohen. Now, the interesting part, of course, over here is what? The two witnesses who say he is a kohen are not coming together. So the Gemara says, watch this. Udekuli alma mitstarfin edos. Now, both say, the Gemara makes a statement over here that we're going to challenge in just a moment, but the Gemara suggests, and everyone agrees, that we could combine witnesses into a testimonial unit. Now we'll say what that would mean is the first eight echad who said he's a kohen and the second eight echad who said he's a kohen, because they are testifying the same about the same matter, they could be forged into a testimonial unit of two witnesses, and as such, again, they form a unit of edos. So we'll say, in essence, then what you have is what? You have two versus two. So watch this. So we'll say, now normally, if you have two versus two, so what happens? If you have two versus two, normally they cancel each other out, in which case you would be pretty much back to the call. So the Gemara says, Vahacha, so what's the case over here? Vahacha, b'meichosh lezelusa debeidina kamiflagi. And I will say, what are they arguing about over here? What they're arguing about over here is, do we constantly reverse and reinstate the psak din of a beis din? Because remember, what's happening over here? There's a kol, we suspend this kahuna. There's an eid echad, we reinstate this kahuna. There's shtei eidim, we suspend this kahuna. There's an eid echad, we reinstate this kahuna. So at some point in time, does beis din say all rulings are final, case is closed? Or do we constantly go ahead and go back for that? I will say, I just want to point out, David mentioned this at the end of the shiur yesterday. This discussion, by the way, is only in terms of financial cases. It is clear that in the realm of capital cases, we look for anything we can, especially if someone is found guilty, to overturn that sentence. So in capital cases, we absolutely will accept all kinds of testimony until the last minute in order to reverse a ruling of a death penalty. But again, we're not talking about that over here. So what happens? Says the Gemara. So we'll say, take a look at the Rashba for just a moment. Actually, not yet. Rabbi Elazar Savar, Kevan Da'ach Sine, Lo Maskinale. So Rabbi Elazar says, once we go ahead and we remove the coin from his position, we do not reinstate it. Now, this is not a reference ultimately to the coal. This is a reference. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. This is a reference. You almost got by me today. Right, so this is a reference. This is a reference ultimately again to after the two witnesses show up. Right? After the two witnesses show up and we go ahead and we accept that edus and we remove him from his kahuna, we're done. The case is closed. We can't go ahead and open up the case every single time new information comes to light. Why? Because we'll say, if the rulings of Beis Din are not final at some point in time, so you erode the integrity of Beis Din. So remember again, so I'm not going to close the case after an Eid Echad, because that's not a full testimonial unit. But once two witnesses come on the scene, we're done. We're done. At that point in time, case closed, let's move on. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Savar, Anan Achsine, the Anan Maskinole. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, you know what? No, we are the ones who removed him, and we are the ones who will reinstate him. In other words, and you know what? We are not going to worry about the integrity of the basin. In other words, we'll say, now I want to explain something. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is also concerned with the integrity of the basin. But he holds that the integrity of the Beis Din is best served how? Is best served ultimately by getting to the truth. And even if that truth requires a bit of flip-flopping, and even if that truth requires a lot of back and forth, that is the integrity of the Beis Din. So we'll say, so really in essence, everyone is concerned with the integrity of the Beis Din. The question is how best to go ahead and safeguard that. Rabbi Elazar says you have to close the case at some point in time. You can't have a constant flip-flop, and therefore again in the Cohen's case, after you go ahead, after you accept the testimony of the two witnesses that say that he's not a Kohen, done. Done. We're not accepting any more testimony. At least, we're not accepting any more testimony. Well, we'll see. We'll define it. Rashi Mamil says, no, we accept, and even if we have to flip-flop, it's okay. Maskif l'Ravashi, Ravashi says, well, if that's the case, Ihachi ma'ir yachad afilu betreinami. So we'll say, remember how the case is set up. The case is set up is, there's a kol, he's not a Kohen. Eid Echad, he is a Kohen reinstate. To Aiden, he's not a Kohen, take him down. Eid Echad, he is a Kohen. So if the Gemara says, so Ravash says the following. Rabbi Elazar, if you're going to tell me that at the end of the day, Chashino is elusive to Beit Dina, and after those two witnesses who say that he's not a Kohen come along, the case is closed. If that's the case, then why do you set up that the last witness who comes is an Eid Echad? Even if the last witness who comes is not one witness, but two witnesses, why don't you still say the case is closed? Because Chashina Lezelusa de Beit Dina. At some point in time, we have to close out the case because we are concerned about the integrity for Beis Din. Ela Amar Ravashi, watch this. Ravashi says, the truth is, Ravosai says Ravashi something amazing. In general, no one is worried about the erosion, integrity erosion of the Beis Din. In other words, the job of the Beis Din, Ravosai, is to find the truth. And if it turns out that the Beis Din looks a little bit silly in their pursuit of truth because they're constantly flip-flopping, because there's constantly new information coming on the scene, that's the price of doing business. That's what happens at a Beis Din. We're not going to close out the case, bless you, because we're worried about eroding the integrity of Beis Din. We have to keep this going until we get to the truth. So what is the machlokis over here? Oh, v'hacha b'letzaref edus kameflegi. But say the real machlokis over here is about something much more profound, which is that when two witnesses testify about same information, but come independently, do you have the ability to combine them into a testimonial unit? That is the real machlokis that is unfolding. Bosi, now you understand the power of this, because what's happening in this case? Kol, two witnesses, you're not a Kohen. One witness, you are a Kohen. I'm sorry, wrong. Kol, you're not a Kohen. One witness, you are a Kohen. Two witnesses, you're not a Kohen. One witness, you are a Kohen. I will say the fundamental machlokis is those two who both testify to the fact that Reuven is a Kohen, can they combine to form a testimonial unit attesting to his Kohen status, and now can say that he has Eidos, real Eidos, two witnesses Eidos, that he's a Kohen, to which the Gemara says, and this machlokis is really an early machlokis tanan. How so? The sanya, because we learned li olam ein edus ein edusam nitzarafes at sheyirush neim keacham. Well, said the Braisa says, according to the Rabbanon, that the testimony of witnesses does not combine until they both witness the same event at the same time. If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashbam, at sheyirush neim keachad, Esaidos Lapuki Echad Omer Befani Hilval Echad Omer Befani Hodal. Both say so. They have to witness the same event. They have to witness the same event. Tivka Rabbi Yeshua Ben Karach Omer Afilu Beze Achar Ze Ein Edusan Miskayemes BeBeizdin Ad Shiyaidu Shnehem KeEchad. And Rabbi Yeshua Ben Karach says even Beze Achar Ze. What does this mean? Look at Rashi. Fresh Bam. Afilu Beze Achar Ze. So we'll say, let's say this outside. This is an interesting case, actually. Let's say one of the witnesses says, I saw Reuven borrow $1,000 from Shimon. And another witness says, I saw Reuven borrow $1,000 from Shimon, but it wasn't Sunday, it was Monday. So we'll say, so there's an opinion that says that they could combine to form a testimonial unit. Why? Because they're probably just mixed up about the days. They witnessed the same event. They're just mixed up about the days. So the Gemara says, but however, again, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Karcha says no. Afilu b'zeh achar zeh ein edusam miskayemes b'beizdin ad she'idu shneihem k'echad. Rabbosai, in order for two witnesses to form one testimonial unit, they have to have witnessed the same event together, and they have to have their information corroborated with one another. Rabbi Nosson says, shomin dvarav shal zeh hayom. Rabbi Nassim, on the other hand, says that what Rabbi Osai, then no, even if two witnesses go ahead and come one after the other, one comes on Sunday, one comes on Monday to Beis Din, and they're saying the same thing, you could combine their individual testimonies into a testimonial unit. So we'll say the Gemara suggests that at the end of the day, the machlokis over here by the Kohen is actually not a machlokis about zelusa de beidina. It's not about integrity erosion of the Beis Din, but rather, again, what it's actually about is the ability to combine individually tendered testimonies into one testimonial unit. When you have an Eid Echad coming at the beginning of this process, an Eid Echad coming at the end of the process, both saying the same thing, namely that's what? That Reuven is a Kohen. Can you combine them into one testimonial unit or not? That's the machlokes. Rabbosai. Now, I know you want to know what happens in the Kohen case. Right? You mean, so what? Yeah, I know it's not a sugya, we're learning Cheskas Avatim, but what does happen in this, I'll tell you, I feel, this case of the Yichus is found in Evan HaEzer. In Hilchos Peri of Rivia, I have a particular affinity towards this chelik in Shulchan Aruch and Evan HaEzer, because one year I learned that we did Evan HaEzer and Kol was my, whatever reason, it was one of my best years in learning. So for whatever reason, I feel whenever I get an opportunity to learn something at Evan HaEzer, it's always special. So this is in Hilchos Peri of Rivia, Simon Gimel Sif Zayin. Listen to this case. Get ready. This is really riveting. Misha Huchsuk Aviv Kohen, V'yatzalav Kol Shul Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza. So again, this is our case. Yaakov, I know I don't have time for this, but I'll do it quickly. Yaakov went ahead. Yaakov is a Kohen. He has a chazaka that he's a Kohen. And what happens? There's a call that goes out that his son Reuven is a Ben Grusha Ben Chalutz. In other words, rumor goes around that Yaakov was married to, was in a legal marriage, or a divorcee. And therefore his son Reuven is not a Kohen. Choshishin umoritano. So first thing the Shulchan Aruch says, we pass in this idea that we have to go into a holding pattern, meaning we have to investigate this, and you Reuven, son, cannot operate as a Kohen during this time. Ba'ed Echad achakach ve'etshukash. As well, this is exactly our case. And Eid Echad comes along afterwards and says that Reuven's a Kohen. Ma'alin osa l'kuna apif. We accept that doesn't have the Eid Echad. Bo'be'ezid machach ve'idu shu'chalal. Moridin osa l'kuna. Ba'ed Echad ve'etshukash. Ma'alin osa l'kuna. Shezeh ha'acharon mitstarif le'id harishon. So we'll say, watch this. So this is exactly our case. Kol, Eid Echad that says you're a Kohen. Shte'idin that say you're not a Kohen. Eid Echad that says you're a Kohen. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins. We allow the two Eid Echads to be mitzarif, to combine with one another and become a testimonial unit. We accept their testimony. Bahari shnayim miidim shu kasher, ushnayim miidim shu pasul, yitchu elu ve'elu v'yitchu akol. So we'll say, watch this. So now that you have two against two, once I have testimonial unit that says that he is a Kohen, even though I have testimonial unit on the other hand, so the Eidos cancel each other out, and they also cancel out the call. They cancel out the rumor. Shashnayim kimeya v'yishar Kohen v'cheskas aviv. So we'll say again, here's what's interesting. Once I have bona fide testimony that says he is a Kohen, even though technically speaking that bona fide Eidos is cancelled by opposing Eidos, but the existence of that Eidos is enough to what? Is enough to cancel out the kol. So we'll say, halacha l'maisa, in our case, it's a good Shabbos table discussion. In our case, In our case, ultimately, again, the two witnesses combine into a testimonial unit. And we'll say, now, whether or not that applies in all areas of halacha is a discussion, but at least it applies over here. They become a testimonial unit. They cancel each other out. They cancel the call out. And ultimately, again, Reuven is restored to his previous chazaka. Good. So, how hudam le v'chavre? So, we'll say back to Cheskes Havatim. Again, I told you. Amazing. Hudam le v'chavre. Ma ba'is v'hai ara. So, we'll say, so what happens? So a man says to his friend,
Amen.
My boss Bahayara, what are you doing on this land? What are you doing on this land? Amrlei, Minoch Zabinta Bahashtara. So we'll say, so what happens? So Reuven goes over to Shimon. Shimon, what are you doing on this land? I mean, what are you doing on my land? To which Shimon responds, what are you talking about? I bought it from you. Right? Shimon says, I bought it from you. And by the way, here's the shtar. Here's the document that supports Rabosei. So this seems to be like an open and shut case. Here's my shtar. So I'll say, so what happens? I'm a base. Get ready for this. Amrle, shtara zaifahu. So Reuven says to Shimon, okay, shtar, that's a forged document. That's not real. You know that's not real. So I'll say, get ready for this. This is wild. You can't make this stuff up. So what happens? Gachin lachish le Rabbah. So I'll say, this case comes before Rabbah. Shimon, the supposed purchaser, right? Shimon is the one who's living on the land now with the shtar, bends down to Rabbah and he says, you know what, Rabbah, you're right. In shtar azayfu, you know, he's right. This is a forged shtar. He's witnessing, he is whispering this into the ear of Rabbah, right? Meaning, Reuven doesn't hear this. So Shimon says, yes, the shtar is forged. Miu shtar ma'al yahavali. But I'm going to be honest. The shtar is forged, but I'm going to be honest. I had a real shtar. The irkas. But the truth is, I went ahead and I lost the document. Va'amino inkit hai biyadai koldu. I know I have a shtar. I bought this land fair and square. I went ahead and I lost my shtar. So I took the liberty of reconstructing my shtar. So I reconstructed my shtar. So it's not really lying. It's not really forged. It's why I would call it a replica. Right? I wouldn't call it a forgery. I'd call it a replica. Right? So therefore, again, what he's doing over here is, on one hand, he's still standing by his claim. I bought this land. But yes, on a tech, if you really want to get legalese about it. So it's not the real shtar. It's a forged shtar. So I'm a rabbi. So I'll say, what do you do with this? So rabbi says, Malo the Shaker. Now, just by the way, I just want to point out over something interesting. Drashban, what does it mean the shtar is forged? When in this case Shimon says the shtar is forged, so the Rashbam gives three different interpretations of this. If you take a look at the end of the Rashbam, it's almost like right across. If you go from where it says Amar Rabba in the Gemara, the fourth line in, go into the Rashbam about three lines down right after the period. Inami leiko le perusha zayfa shtar mezuyef mamish. Shaziev chasimas ha'edim yafa, the toim ha'edim kisurim chasimas yedeyem hi, or mekaimas ashtar. So, listen to this. So, the Rashbam said, and this is the interpretation we'll go with. What does it mean that he has a forged shtar? What does that mean? It literally means that Shimon rewrote the entire shtar, and he forged the signatures of the witnesses. But he did such a good job with the forgery that the witnesses think that they said, you have to understand something. We see this clearly, that in the times of the Gemara, you had people who served as professional witnesses. Effectively, I think it's like what we would call today a notary, right? You had people who served in this professional capacity as witnesses. So we'll say, you could have a situation where a person signed on many different shtaros. And the truth is, you don't remember every single shtar that you sign on. You just don't remember every single shtar. So I'll say, so therefore what? So therefore, so Shimon did a great job with this forgery. Tells Rabbi, and he's admitting it. Rabbi, I'm going to be honest, it's a forgery, but I'm telling you I have a real shtar, I lost it. I'm a Rabbi. So I'll say, so what do you do in this case? This is wild. Rabbi says, Malo v'shaker. The truth is, Rabbi say, we're going to believe him. You know, we're going to believe, because he has a migo. What's the migo, Rabbi say? Literally, why should he lie? Because I will say, the truth is, Rabbah says, listen, Shimon has no reason to admit his lie. Why does he have no reason? Because he could have gotten away with it. Why? I will say, because the shtar, the truth is an excellent forgery. In other words, pretty much, the witnesses thought it was their signatures. They were ready to uphold the shtar. He could have just simply stood by his story that this was the authentic shtar, and the truth is, he would have won the case. I will say, in general, migo means when someone else could have made a stronger claim, but instead they don't. They make a weaker claim. we believe the weaker claim because they had no incentive or they have no reason to lie about it. So Rabbi says, listen, Shimon didn't have to open his mouth. Shimon could have just said, Reuven, I don't care what you say, this is not a forgery, this is a real shtar, and the halacha would have been on his side. The fact that now he admits that it's a forgery, again, we should believe him because he has an ego. So Rav Yosef says, what are you talking about? Amli Rav Yosef, amai samachta hai shtara chasma ba'amahu. Rav Yosef says, what are you talking about? Once he admits that the shtar is a forgery, then what? Ain amal daberi. There's nothing to talk about anymore. In other words, there is no discussion that could center around a forged document. You can't tell me that someone has a migo based on a forgery. In other words, what Rav Yosef is saying is, once he admits it's a forgery, all bets are off. There's no discussion anymore. Now we could discuss chazaka, not chazaka, whatever else. But the document itself no longer could be part of this ongoing discussion because it's like a pottery shard. So let's say, watch this. A similar case. So listen to this. Reuven goes over to Shimon. Shimon, give me the $100 that I lent you. Vahashtara. And here is the document. Because also remember again, when Reuven lends Shimon money, so Reuven, the creditor, has a document that outlines the debt. Who holds on to the document? The creditor, right? The lender. Right? Because that document is the way the lender collects the money. So what happens? So Reuven says to Shimon, Shimon, give me the $100 I lent you. So what happens? Vahashtara. And I have a shtar. In other words, I have a document that proves you owe me the money. To which Shimon responds, Amalei. So Shimon, the supposed borrower, says, Shtara Zaifahu. That's a forged document. That is a forged document. So I say, so what happens? So Gachin Lachesh Le Rabba. So I say, sure enough, the lender bends down and whispers to Rabba. He says, Rebbe, you're right, in shtara zaifu, you know, yeah, it's forged. But, miu shtara ma'al yohavali v'irkas. V'amina inket hai biyadai kolduhu. So it happens, we'll say, the lender Reuven says, Rebbe, I want to tell you that he's right, it's forged, but I really did lend him money, I really do have a bona fide document, and I lost it. So I figured, you know what, I don't have the original, I'm going to do my best to reconstruct the replica. I did a pretty good job, no? Yeah, right? Looks pretty convincing. And again, he owes me the money. So Rabba again says, Ma'alo l'shaker. The truth is, we have no... So Reuven, the lender, has no reason to lie. I will say, why does he have no reason to lie? Say, I boy amrle shtara ma'al yuhu. Because we must remember, Reuven could have just maintained his original claim, which is that the document was a valid document. And the truth is, no one would be able to, no one would have been able to counter the kinos. In other words, we're talking about a document that was so well forged that even the witnesses said, yeah, that's our signatures. We don't remember it, but that's our signatures. So we'll say the document would have held up in a court of law. In other words, all Reuven needed to do was keep his mouth shut, and the document would have done the work for him. Therefore, Rabbi says, the fact that he comes clean, and he goes ahead and he says it's a forgery, Rabbi says, we believe him. So again, Rabbi says, I'm on the Rabbi Yosef, Amai kasam chesa haishtara, haishtara chasam. So Rabbi says, which Rabbi Yosef says, the guy's a liar. The guy is a liar, and he's just admitted that he's a liar. He's just admitted that he created a forgery. The document itself is a pottery shard, it's nothing. And therefore, again, there is no credibility in this case. So we'll say, I'm going to have Idi Bar Abba. So we'll say, who do we paskin like? So we'll say, you see again, this machlokis between Rabba and Rav Yosef, this ongoing machlokis between Rabba and Rav Yosef. So it says, I'm going to have Idi Bar Abba. Hilchasa kavase de Rabba ba'aro, behilchasa kavase de Rav Yosef bezuzi. So we'll say, so listen to this. Rav Idi Bar Abba says, the halacha follows Rabba in a case of land, in a case of real property, and the halacha follows Rav Yosef in a case of money. What does that mean on a practical level? What does that mean? The hilchasa kiraba ba'ara, deicha de kaima aratikum. The halacha follows Rab in a case of land, because it will say we will leave the land with the muchzak owner. The hilchasa kavase Rav Yosef bezuze deicha de kaima zuzi lukmi. And the halacha follows Rav Yosef in a case of money in order to leave money with the person who is muchzak owner. We'll say, what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara essentially says we follow whichever opinion will allow the chazaka to remain intact, will allow the status quo to remain intact. So what does that mean? Let's play this out. What's the case of property? So the case of property on both sides, what we said before, right? Reuven comes over to Shimon. Shimon, what are you doing on my property? Right? Shimon is the one who's living there now. So Shimon says, what are you doing on my property? Shimon says, It's my property. I bought it. I have a shtar. And what happens? He produces the shtar. Now it turns out that what he says, the shtar is forged. The shtar is forged. But again, Rabbi said we should believe him because essentially Ma'alo Shakir didn't have to lie. We could have just relied on the shtar. So the halacha follows Rabbi in that case. That we leave the property with Reuven. We leave the property with Shimon. They both say, now why do we leave the property with Shimon? Because what are we essentially doing? Essentially what we're saying is, Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Shimon is the one who's living on the property. At the end of the day, we've got a forged star. So as I said, at the end of the day, Rabbi will say, you know what? I don't know who the property belongs to. But here's what I do know, which is what? Shimon's living there now. Which means Shimon is in possession. So the burden of proof, therefore, is going to be upon who? The burden of proof is going to be upon Reuven to extract that property. So when Rav Ivi Bar Avin says, we paskin like Rabba in the case of real property, we're not really paskin like Rabba. We are. But what we're essentially saying is, Hamotzi mechavera alav haraya. He who is living on the land has the chazaka of being the owner until someone else could prove otherwise. But the burden of proof is going to be on the extractor. When it comes to the case of Rabbi, so what's the case of money? Reuven comes over to Shimon. Shimon, you owe me $1,000, and here is the document. Here is the document. Shimon says, I don't owe you anything. Document is forged. Reuven admits the document is forged. Rabbi, say, what's the halacha? The halacha is the burden of proof remains with Reuven, the creditor. Why? Because Shimon is the muchsak on the money. Shimon is the one who has the money right now. Reuven, you want to extract that money from Shimon, that's fine, but the burden of proof is now going to be upon you. And now that you just admitted that your document is forged, that document is no longer a proper vehicle of collection, and therefore the burden of proof is going to fall upon you. So we'll say, bottom line, what Rav Ivi Bar Avin says is essentially, in all cases when there is doubt, we will apply the principle of Hamotzi Mechaver Alav Haraya. He who has possession of the object, be it land or be it money, is the presumed owner until the extractor could prove otherwise. Says the Gemara. Hu Arva. Well, say another interesting case. There was a guarantor. The Amar Li Lalova, Havli Meazuzi Deparati Lamal Ve'iluach. Or Ilavach. Vahayishtara. So we'll say, listen to this. So there was a guarantor. So we'll say, this case takes a little bit of an interesting turn. So Reuven lent money to Shimon, and we'll call him Levi guaranteed the debt. Levi guaranteed the debt. So Levi comes over to Shimon the bar and says, Shimon, listen, I paid back your debt for you. Plus, you know, there's a whole discussion on halacha, which we will discuss, as to whether or not if I'm a lender and I lend to the bar and as a guarantor, do I have to first go to the borrower to get the money? And only if the borrower defaults, I go to the guarantor? Or do I have the right to go to the guarantor directly? So we're going to see that discussion halacha. In any event, in this case over here, what occurs? So Levi, the guarantor, comes over to Shimon the bar and says, Shimon, listen, I paid back your debt. I paid back Reuven for you. You owe me $100. Lowy $100. So the high star, and here's the document, right? Again, because we'll say essentially what happened over here is that when the guarantor pays back the creditor, what the creditor does is he gives the guarantor the loan document, because that loan document is the vehicle of collection. So now the creditor gave the guarantor document of collection. Guarantor is showing up to the borrower and saying, borrower, you owe me $100. So we'll say, so says to him, Amrale, Lav Paratich. So he says, so the borrower says, okay, I know, we had this discussion last week. You remember, again, I paid you back, right? I mean, you came to me for the $100 that you paid to the lender, and I paid you back. Omar, lav hadar shakla sinuminai. To which the guarantor says, yes, you paid me back, but then again, remember, you borrowed again from me. You borrowed again from me. In other words, you paid me back the $100 that you originally went ahead and borrowed from Reuven, and then you re-borrowed from me that same $100. So we'll say, so what's the halacha in this case? Now remember, over here, the guarantor is the one who is still holding on to the document. Look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Third white line Rashbam, Lav hadarta v'shek l'sinu minoy, u'kimi shalo parata dami, v'dami, v'lova l'hod lo v'kach. So we'll say, so the guarantor is claiming that the borrower borrowed a second time. So I'll say, now the Shaila is, and of course the borrower is saying, that never happened. You came to me for the original $100 that I borrowed that you paid back to my creditor on my behalf. I paid you back, and I never borrowed a second $100 from you. So the Gemara says, So shalcha Rav Ivi bar Avin lekamei d'Abaye ki hai gav namai. So we'll say they sent this case before Rav Ivi bar Avin, and they asked him, what is the halacha in this case? They both say, now here's what's interesting. Take a look at the Rashbam in the third of the widest lines, third line down in the wide lines. What is the status in this case? They both say, now what are they really asking about? So we'll say, watch this. Look at the Rashbam. Ki hai gav namai. Delo dami kol kach lishtar milva delael. Tepaskidan kirav Yosef. Tehasa moda haya bal ashtar. Sheshtar acha haya lo. Veneemad. Velakach zolios berdo lischos. Veosam azuefu mamish. Delo nichtav al milva ze. Hilchach hefsid. Decha dekami zuzi tekum. So let's remember again. In the previous case we had, where the creditor was producing a shtar, in that case, the creditor admitted that what? That a shtar was a forgery. This case of a hacha lo haya lo la'arif shtar achani olam kimza ve'hilchach afagav de parinu keivan dader shaklinu kilo lo parinu dami ve'chayvo liforo odilma mikomaka modu shepara ve'kaimel and shtar shlavu aparinu chozes. Mostly, watch this. This is fascinating. With this, we'll have to end for today. The Yerushal over here is the following. What's unfolding over here? In this case, Rabbo said, so remember, the guarantor is admitting that the borrower paid him back the money. Right? Remember, that's the case. That's the Metzius over here. So everyone's agreeing. So there are two pieces that everyone agrees on. Everyone agrees that guarantor paid back Reuven, the creditor, and that the guarantor received payment from Shimon, the borrower. What's the point of contention? The point of contention over here is that guarantor is now claiming that he subsequently lent borrower Shimon, he got paid back, but he lent back that same $100. And Shimon, borrower, is claiming that what? That never happened. Now, we'll say, now it's really at play. Now, guarantor says, 1 second, I have a shtar. So we'll say, what's really at play over here is the following. Now, remember, that shtar is about a different transaction. Right, that shtar actually speaks about a transaction between Reuven and Shimon, for which Levi was the guarantor. Levi is now saying that we repurposed that shtar to now reflect our new debt of you borrowing $100 from me. Rabbi said the fundamental machlokes over here is, can you repurpose shtaros, or do we say that once the debt outlined in the shtar has been repaid, that shtar essentially is what? Is done. It's done. The shibud, the lien of that shtar is done, and there is nothing more to speak about. Fine, so I'll just read one more line. So the Gemara says, so shalchali ravidi baravin lekavid rava ki agav namai. So we'll say, so that's, the, actually we're going to stab over here. So that, I'm going to leave you on the cliffhanger. So we'll say, so that is the shayla that they sent ultimately again to Abaye. What is the status of this transaction? What is the nature of the shtar? We'll say, mitzvah shem to be continued tomorrow. Shkoyach. So he's saying that we agreed to just use this.